Hello again, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast series brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. As usual, you can find us at surgery101.org, or else look for our app, Surgery 101, on your iPhone or your Android device. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at surgery_101. I'm delighted to tell you that the winter is finally ending here in Edmonton. It seems that the snow has been here for many, many months, but it's finally receding and the shoots of spring are starting to show. The academic year is also cruising to its conclusion, and the class of 2013 will soon be graduating. In this week's episode, we're hearing from a new Surgery 101 expert from another medical school. And this is Dr. Chris Decker, who's a friend of mine who works at the Northern Ontario School of Medicine here in Canada. He's got an interest in checklists, and he got in touch to say he'd like to do an episode on a few new mnemonics that he's developed to help medical students when looking after post-operative surgical patients. So I'm going to get out of the way and let him get started as we consider what comes after David here on Surgery 101.
Hi, this is Dr. Chris Decker from the Northern Ontario School of Medicine, giving you a presentation for Surgery 101. The topic I'm presenting is a post-operative surgical checklist. I hope you enjoy it. About 4 years ago, I decided to get a new dentist. Having done the required paperwork, I was ushered to a chair by one of the dental hygienists. Since I was a completely new patient, she told me that she and one of her partners would inspect my teeth and gums and go through an extensive checklist to make sure nothing would come back to bite them. Together with a printed checklist, they began their inspection. One was dressed in pink and the other in light blue. Nice. One read an item on the list and the other, equally trained hygienist, visually and verbally checked that item. The pink hygienist carried the clipboard, and the blue one stared into my mouth, picking here and there. Pink hygienist, left upper bicuspid. Blue hygienist, check. Pink hygienist, upper incisors. Blue hygienist, check. This went on and on until I was pink and blue in the face. Finally, it ended, but I was pretty impressed. Checklists are pretty new to surgery, but are now well established in the operating room and have great potential elsewhere. For medical students and residents, they can be useful in numerous areas. One of these would be for complex postoperative inpatients. There are a number of considerations on seeing a patient daily after a major thoracic, abdominal, or orthopedic operation while they're in hospital. This checklist is something that you could take with you to the bedside on a card or in a smartphone with another resident or student. During the presentation, I will take some pauses so that you can make some written notes if you wish. Case presentation. A 65-year-old man on 4 medications has just undergone an open low anterior resection and loop ileostomy for rectal cancer. He is now 1 day post-op on the surgery ward. His attending is one of your preceptors, and you attended his 4-hour operation. It is now 7 a.m. the next day, and you are doing ward rounds on your patients with the PGY-1 in urology. What are the important questions and considerations for a patient that is 1 day post-op, 3 or 4 days post-op, and 4 to 7 days post-op? Let's look at each of these timelines and the checklist. The University of Toronto notes suggests students should look at the 4 W's. These are wind, water, wound, and wonder drugs. That is fine. But there is a mnemonic that you already know that can be added to. Right now you have ADD David for post-op orders. This stands for admit, diagnosis, doctor, diet, activity, vital signs, investigations, drugs. I have come up with some mnemonics which all have David, but also adds an S. And also paw, P-A-W, wolf, W-O-L-F, and toil, T-O-I-L, depending on the day's post-op. So let's go. One or 2 days post-op. For a checklist, you can still use David, but add an S. Also, we will add our first new representation, paw, P-A-W. Hence, we have David's paw for day 1 or 2 post-op. So write that down. What does that represent? David's equals diet, activity, vital signs, investigations, drugs, and stressors. Paw equals pain, anticoagulation, waterworks. David's diet is not only oral intake, but also intravenous fluids. Is it currently all appropriate? Activity. Is the patient getting up and breathing deeply? Are they moving around? Vitals. Are temperature, pulse, and respiration all appropriate for day 1 post-op? Investigations. Is blood work or imaging necessary today or tomorrow? Do they need to be done stat? Drugs. Is making sure the patient is on all of their essential home medications and anything else necessary from the hospital, such as antibiotics. Stressors. Patients are all stressed in the hospital by huge pain, a totally different foreign environment, and their diagnosis. Can you make that environment better? Is it too noisy? Is that patient next to them incompatible? Is there too much light coming into the room at night? Are they getting home meds when they want them? Do they need a form sign? There may be little you can do, but sometimes there's a lot. PAW, P-A-W, is pain, anticoagulation, and waterworks. Pain is important and a separate category of its own. Does the patient have enough for pain and the right agents with the least side effects? Anticoagulation is for DVT prophylaxis. Are they on something for it? Waterworks. How well are they peeing? Has there been adequate urine output? Three or 4 days post-op. This check is David's Wolf. David's D-A-V-I-D-S and Wolf WOLF. David's still applies, but also the added mnemonic is WOLF. WOLF stands for Waterworks, Operative Incisions, Legs, i.e. DVTs, and Farts. Waterworks. Is this patient still peeing okay at day 3? Can the Foley catheter come out? Operative incisions. Infection, hematoma, or dehiscence are necessary to check for. Expose the incision now at day 3. Is there a drain to remove? L is for legs. Legs is a check for DVT and ankle edema. Pull down the sheets and look at the legs. You may be surprised what you find. F is for farts. Farts is exactly that. Is the patient passing gas or stool, especially if they've had a GI operation? Four to 7 days post-op. David's toil is the final check. David's are the same considerations as before. Toil, T-O-I-L. I have added something new. It stands for transfer, operative incisions, and legs. T is for transfer or discharge. Is this patient ready for discharge or transfer to rehab? Has home care been arranged? Are there any new medications? Do they or the family understand the outpatient follow-up plan? OI is for operative incision. It is still important to consider the wound at this stage. At least ask about it or visualize it. Is there still a drain? L is for legs. The legs are still important to check for DVTs, etc. So in conclusion, we have David's paw, David's wolf, and David's toil. Having a plan for post-op care is important, and this is a checklist for that. The devil is always in the details. Not all items in the checklist will be important for every patient, every time. But it is hoped that this will give you a framework to build on.
That's it for this week's episode of Surgery 101. I don't know about you, but I'm quite looking forward to hearing my students talking about paws, wolves, and toiling on the wards when they're looking after our patients who have had surgery. As I always say at this time of the podcast, please use the Surgery 101 network on surgery101.org to get in touch with us. You can give us suggestions for new episodes, or you can volunteer to make a new episode yourself. You can also email us at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or connect with us through Facebook or through Twitter, or just leave us a review on the iTunes store. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week, right here on Surgery 101.